Welcome to Tales of the Rift. My name is Blaine Anders.
And I'm Osole.
And today we have with us Mr. Tyson from the Grindhouse.
Well, thank you guys for having me tonight. This is weird because I'm usually the one on that side asking the questions.
Right?
Yeah, it's a little different.
Yeah.
So, Ty, man, look, you are a guy of many talents. You know, you do voiceover, you're a host of the Grindhouse, photographer, director, promoter, and even established guitar player from one of Abbeville's first metal bands, of my recollection, in Post.
Man, yeah, going back in the day right there.
I am.
So 20-plus years ago, man.
Yeah, I mean, I remember meeting you way back in the day. I mean, we're both like 19 years old at the time.
Yeah, we were kids.
Totally. And, man, so what I want to do is just get your life story, man. Like, just give us a taste or the full, you know, Baba Ganoush of...
The Baba Ganoush which led from high school till now,
I there guess. There you go, man. Just like,
cool.
So,
all right,
let it rip.
I am from Abbeville, Louisiana, originally born and raised, and...
Vermilion Parish North.
Man, Vermilion Parish. And then, you know, did I say Abbeville? It's Abbeville.
Abbeville.
If you're from Abbeville, you know what you're talking about, boy. yeah, man. Grew up in the country. Hung out with a lot of friends. We just played a lot of video games back in the day. And I'm a Nintendo kid.
Same, dude.
You know what I mean?
Same.
Good old NES and SNES as well.
Super Mario 3 was my jam.
Oh, man.
Contra.
Yes. Contra.
Ninja Gaiden.
Oh, man. Part 3 is impossible. So if you haven't played it, just don't even try.
No.
But yeah, man, I was heavily into video games growing up. My best friend Jay and I, for those in the metal scene, you may know the J-Bone. I'm sure some of you know him.
Oh, I definitely met him.
I'm sure you have. And then later on, in, I'd say about when I was about 10, I heard Far Beyond Driven.
Ooh.
No. I was 13 when I heard Far Beyond Driven. I'm sorry. Let me go back.
Great album.
First thing I heard was, I think, Master of Puppets, I believe, on cassette. My cousin had it. And I was like, man, okay. This is different. Okay. So I checked it out. And, you know, over time, we had cassettes back then. And that was, you know, once I heard Master of Puppets, had to get all of them. At the time, there were 4. At the time, this was right before the Black Album came out, so
right.
You had Kill 'Em All, Ride the Lightning, Master, and Justice. So jammed those out, and then started getting into Slayer and Pantera. Far Beyond Driven was actually the first Pantera record I've heard.
Wow.
I've seen like my cousin's Cowboys from Hell cassette,
mm-hmm.
And just at the time, I was like, okay, well, I was 9, so I didn't really comprehend it. But when I finally heard that, I was like, man, okay. This is what I've been missing.
Yeah, it seems like you hit a lot of the same albums that I came into the metal scene. It's like Far Beyond Driven was definitely the gateway to extreme metal for me. Well, that and Slayer. I was given Slayer Show No Mercy back in the day when I was living.
The original.
The original. I had some older cousins. I would visit them on the weekends, and it was off we went. Like, we would skateboard. My cousin had the best room of collage pictures and posters, stuff that would still freak me out to this day if I walked into that room. I mean, he had Diary of a Madman, he had Wasp, he had all that shit. And it was like, okay, I don't know what this is, but I'm in.
Absolutely. That's how I was. And I grew up in a musical family, too. My uncle's a guitar player, played with in bands like Roddy Romero, Zachary Richard, stuff. So I grew up around the music scene here in Acadiana growing up as a child. My mother's a singer.
Oh, wow.
Was in Fifth Avenue back in the day. I'm sure you've heard of that band, cover band from E-Rat.
Yep.
And they play this whole area. Still together today. And so I grew up around that, and music has always been in my blood. And when I first heard just really heavy guitar-oriented music, I had to. And it's weird because I'm a lefty, but I play right-handed.
I did not know that.
Nobody, not a lot of people know that. I don't really tell too many people that. And they're like, man, how do you do that?
That's quite the feat.
Well, I think it's because growing up, I watched a lot of close family members play right-handed. And they had right-handed guitars in the house. So when I picked it up, I don't know, I just was, okay. And to me, honestly, as a left-hander, I'd rather my dominant hand be on the fingerboard.
No, you were just like, I'm better than all of you.
You got it.
I'm better than all of you.
All you other left-handers suck.
Yeah, and
all your handwriting, too.
Meanwhile, people just watch, people who know Ty in the crowd going, oh, dude, like, he's playing.
What the
What the fuck, indeed? Yeah. And it's crazy because, like, I don't know. When we started Post back in about 1999 or 98, I can't remember. The band actually kind of started in about 97 with as a three piece, and just over time we got another. We need two guitars. You know, I wanted to do more and more and more, and so we brought in Donnie Vize on guitar,
yep.
And then we rounded out with Lance Richard on vocals, and we became a five piece after that, and that's when we took off. But being a left-hander, I like to play fast. So,
me too.
Keeping rhythm with your right hand that's not dominant, it's not easy. So it took a few years for me to get really fast.
It doesn't sound easy. I mean, just, you know, I've been playing now just over 2.5 years, and, you know, and just struggling, like being right hand dominant and like playing, like you said, rhythm guitar, just staying quick with it and alternate picking, all that good shit. I mean, it's. I can't imagine you making that switch.
Mm-hmm. Hey, man, it's like my dad would say, slow is smooth, smooth is fast. You know?
Exactly.
Right.
That's exactly. Important. That's good advice right there from a great man.
Absolutely, man.
So growing up, man, those bands, I don't want to necessarily say the Big Four because mm-hmm. I didn't really grow up with the Big Four.
Right.
I mean, I've heard a little bit of Anthrax here and there. I wasn't really a big Anthrax guy growing up. Because I think around 1994, my best friend came to my house and he had a CD by a band called Meshuggah.
Ooh.
And it was the EP None.
Okay.
And at the time, there was nothing else like it.
Nothing.
Now every other band sounds like that shit. But, yep. You know, which I don't hate. I'm not hating on Gent. I'm not hating on it. I love progressive metal and everything.
We will.
I know you don't like it. But, look, I'm a little bit into everything, you know. I'm a very diverse person. I will never own a 7 or 8-string guitar ever, though. I can't stand it. But, anywho, this was different. And, you know, Meshuggah started out as a thrash band.
They sure did.
They did. If you listen to that Contradiction Collapse album, it is sick. But yeah, just listening to different styles of music and wanting to incorporate those methods into our songwriting. Post had everything from, we had a lot of groove,
yeah,
a lot of Southern influence, which a lot of bands from here have.
I mean, you just can't help it. It's in the water.
It is. It's just, you know, you're from south, you're south of LA 14. It's going to, you know.
It's going to show its face.
It's going to sound Southern, you know, and it was cool because I grew up listening to a lot of those bands. You know, I was introduced like before the band started into, you know, bands like Crowbar and I Hate God. I seen I Hate God in 96 when I was 15 years old. Crazy.
I think I was at the same concert.
Pantera and White Zombie at UNO.
Yep.
The one where Mike Nine pissed off the crowd.
Yep.
And they booed him.
Nothing has changed.
In his hometown.
Nothing has changed since then.
I never forget that show, man. That was insane. First time seeing Pantera. At the time I was into those types of bands, like just a few different styles. Listening to a lot of old Ozzy too, Black Sabbath, Randy Rhoads.
Oh man, you know, I mean, he's the maestro, dude.
You know, Randy, Jakey Lee, of course, never gets enough credit.
He doesn't.
If you watch that Ultimate Ozzy Live album video, there's a cassette. There's a VHS cassette of that live album. The solos he does on there are insane. I've never seen any, not even Randy Rhoads, pull off stuff like that.
He probably could
if he were still alive today, but nobody.
The dude was on the next level.
And I'm sorry, Zakk Wylde fans.
We love you, Zakk Wylde.
I love Zakk Wylde too, man. He's another influence in our songwriting as well.
Yeah, very phenomenal.
What do you think was the one band, the one metal band around here that's not named Down, that's not named Crowbar or I Hate God, something really, you know, homebrewed here with like just like tore you a new one and was like, holy shit, this is what I want to do.
Would it be fair if it's a twofer for me, if I mentioned two bands?
Please.
Those bands that were like, well, holy fuck, from around here would obviously Acid Bath.
Oh, God. One.
Yeah.
Yes.
The other would be Soylent Green.
Oh, yeah. To speak of my language right there.
Straight up.
Fuck mm-hmm. yeah.
I mean, those bands.
Every time I have the opportunity to meet up with Sammy and Ben, I tell them every single time, like, dude, like, Some Mile Secrets. I mean, that's just my shit.
I wore that album out when I was a teenager.
Deleted Symphony for the Beaten Down. Oh, of my course. God, man.
Yeah. Nobody, I don't hear too many people giving Soylent Green credit. So shout out to the Masters.
Shout out to Soylent Green.
Ben, Tommy, Brian, all them dudes, man. Good stuff.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think Jared did the artwork for the acid bath, one of their demos, I think. And it's pretty wicked looking.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. But yeah, acid bath for sure. And it's funny, like, growing up and listening to these bands, and I wouldn't say idolizing them, but, like, you know what I mean. The right word doesn't come to mind, but... And now hanging out with these dudes and knowing them on a personal level, some of them, you know, these days, it's pretty surreal how things have come over the years. But, yeah, Acid Bath and Soylent Green, hands fucking down, the two bands, Louisiana, that I still jam to this day, religiously.
Oh, yeah, man, without a doubt. So let's walk through, you know, your life coming up. Mm-hmm. And you deciding that you want to be on radio.
Oh,
how did that work out?
Well,
what steps did you take to get into that venue?
Well, growing up, I always was told, like, it'd be cool to be some type of announcer or something. Like, growing up, I was like, it'd be cool to be like a wrestling announcer, you know, like, you know, coming to the ring, you know, like stuff like that. And watched a lot of wrestling growing up and stuff. So that part was always cool to me, being the voice of events. I'm a very, I guess growing up, somewhat introverted person.
Yeah.
Right.
I would say I'm kind of like a hybrid. Like I can hang out in a room full of people and like to be the center of attention, or I just like to just chill at my house and not talk to anybody.
You should come over. We could do this together.
It's crazy, man. Everybody's like, man, you just like to chill and you host radio. I'm like, well, radio is a different beast, man. It's like this, you know, we're just in a room.
Right. Yeah.
We're hanging out. We're talking. It's like friends hanging out and talking. That's what it is.
That's what it is, man.
And, except, you know, you're talking to a lot of people.
Yeah.
You know? But I never really thought about, like, just being on the radio growing up. It's crazy. But, like, things like being an in-ring announcer or something like that was kind of more when I was like, okay, I can do that.
Well, you definitely got the voice for it.
Yeah, you're very well outspoken, that's for sure.
If you would have heard me when I started.
Well, I mean, everybody's got to start somewhere.
Exactly.
If you could, like, kind of turn back just for a second where you're at right now, what do you think, like, the version of you at 12 years old would think of you right now?
That's a great question.
I think he would think I'm cool. I think he wouldn't be cool with some of the decisions I've made in life. But I think everybody can say that, or at least some would say that. But yeah, I think you would say, like, that's pretty cool.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Absolutely. I mean, if I could see my current self from, like, my, you know, my 13-year-old point of view, like, I don't know who that motherfucker is, but he's got it going on.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, like, look at this dude.
Okay, well, you know, he's played in a band, you know. He knows a lot of people. He's on the radio. He has a very beautiful, really cool ass woman.
There you go.
You know, we just made 6 years yesterday.
Congratulations on that.
Yeah, on Halloween, man. It's crazy. Halloween was our first date. We went to see Mastodon and COC in New Orleans in 2015. That's a cool first date.
That's a cool first date.
Really cool. And then it's funny.
Congratulations, buddy.
You like me. You really like me.
Fucking right,
we do. Just kidding. Fuck. But it's funny that, you know, I told her, I was like, 6 years later, our anniversary weekend, who drops an album? Mastodon.
Oh, yes.
A sick album, by the way.
Yeah, we were talking about that at the store, man. And I got to hear a few tracks, and I was like, man, Tyson's fucking right, dude, as always.
Them dudes always deliver, man, you know. They some riff monsters. But anywho, where were we at?
Oh, man.
Like I said, this is kind of weird for me because I'm usually the one asking the questions.
Oh, yeah. We're kind of just all over the place.
We're all over the map.
We'll try and keep it pinpointed the best that we can.
I really appreciate you guys having me on for your first episode. There are so many more people in this scene that deserve to be on before me. But I really appreciate you guys for thinking of me.
I mean, I wouldn't necessarily say that there's people that are quote-unquote deserve to be here before you, but for one, you made the time out of your day to come here to talk to us, to allow us to ask you questions. And two, I mean, dude, you run a fucking radio show. I mean, you interview all different kinds of people. You're on fucking on the Grindhouse, dude, on Sundays on 105.1. Which I usually forget what time that it usually starts.
It's like 8 o'clock, right?
8 o'clock.
O'clock.
We started off when we started 14 years ago. Ain't that insane? 14 years?
14 years ago of metal, man.
Metal show. There's never been, before that, there was like Planet Fear back in the day on Planet Radio.
Oh, yeah.
And which was really cool. And then Grindhouse started in 08.
You know, and, I'm sorry, go ahead.
It's insane that a terrestrial FM metal show lasted as long as it did and still going as long as we can.
So let's piggyback on that and let's talk about how you started that venture.
Okay, well, interesting. So a lot of you know me, know I was in the scene. I played guitar and post from about 1997 as a three-piece. We didn't really play any shows in Lafayette or anything. We didn't play until like 99, until about 05. And met a lot of people. Met a lot of fucking people playing in that band for that many years. I had the pleasure of meeting so many cool people. Your dad being one of them. Oh, yeah. So many talented people. So many fun people to hang out with. Some not so fun to hang out with.
Some just weird.
You know, and yeah, some very, very weird. Oh, man. And one of those people I've met, he goes by the name Tard.
Oh, yeah, I remember Tard.
Yeah, if
you're infamous Tard.
Planet Radio listeners, Tard and the More Music Morning Show was the thing I, like, in high school, I listened to that. Wow. Well, he wasn't on mornings. He was on it, like, late at night.
Yeah.
But later on, you know, when he was on mornings, that's all I listened to. And met him. We played a show with Glory Hole Toys when they were next to Cafe Cottage back in probably 03 or, God, it seems so long ago, but... met them, and it was funny because that was an interesting night. I remember being backstage at Toys, and they were watching granny porn.
Oh my god!
No, we were all watching it. Like I ain't gonna lie. Shit. Sorry. Oh, I mean, like, look. If you think I'm a sick fuck, then you know it was just on. I just walked in the room. Amen. How can you not look at it?
No shame.
I mean,
all about the gills here, bro.
You know,
we're all about it.
Making me squirm right here.
The ghouls. But yeah, and I'm gonna take a sip of my drink here.
Take that drink, ball.
Got that cotton mouth, but no, not like that.
It's exactly like that.
Or do I?
Whoa.
Like, like that Black Sabbath song, Sweet Lip.
Indeed. But about it was an 07. Maybe early 07, my friend Ronnie Stelly, who goes by Ron Star, he was a, you know, he promoted and did some shows around here. He said, "Hey, bro, I got an idea for a show." And I was like, "Oh, yeah?" He's like, "Yeah, I want to call it the Grindhouse." And I'm saying, you know, because he's got a Cajun accent. And,
right.
I was like, actually, that's a cool name because the Grindhouse double feature just came out, the Robert Rodriguez, Quentin Tarantino double feature.
Love that flick.
And nice. I'm like, okay, well. Hopefully nobody confuses the name with it, but nobody did. And it was a cool name for a show. And it was funny because a lot of people gave a shit because we didn't play just grindcore the whole time. Like, no, man, it's just for every genre of metal. He brought the idea to my attention and I was like, yeah, it's a cool idea, dude. I'm definitely going to listen to you, man. You know, if you ever want me to hang out one day and I'll be a guest on it or something like that. And then it came the stars kind of aligned with that. I went through a rough kind of relationship at the time. Mm-hmm. Some drama and stuff like that happened in my life. And right after that, he called me and said, "Hey, man, I got Tard agreed for us to be on Planet Radio."
Oh, shit.
For he said me, not us, because I wasn't involved yet. But he said, "Yeah, I want to be on Planet Radio on Sunday nights at 11. Like, man, it's fucking late, dude. On a Sunday, dude? Well, I'll be up. I mean, I at the time, I was a fucking vampire, you know. I'd stay up till fucking 4 in the morning and sleep till 2, you know. A lot of dumb shit, you know.
Right.
But it's like, hell yeah, dude, I'll give you a listen. And then all that crap was going on in my life, and then he hit me up. He's like, "Hey, man, how would you like to come on and co-host the show with me?" I'm like, wow.
That's awesome.
Wow, that would be great. I would love to, man. Like, I can use that right now. It's something positive.
Yeah.
And he talked to Tard, and Tard was like, "Yeah, I know that motherfucker." It's like, hell yeah, let him be on it. And the rest is history, man. Like, I sat in. I was just going to sit in a couple times, and then next thing you know, every Sunday night, I was on there with him. And a couple years later, when Ron stepped down, I took it over. And ever since, it's been probably about... 12 years since I've been doing it.
It's been snowballing, man. Like, just mm-hmm. from, like, one big act after the next.
It led to some cool things because about, I'd say about a year into doing the show solo, Tard approached me, said, "Hey, dude, would you ever like to do this full time?" Mm-hmm. I was like, "Are you fucking kidding me?" Sure.
Yes.
Because, yeah, I mean, it's a cool. I mean, I listened to Planet Radio in high school. Mm-hmm. You know, I used to listen to that shit every morning before school. It was fun. It was the cool station in town. Like, they played all the cool shit. Right. And it was alternative at the time, but at the time, in the 90s, that was the shit.
Yeah, that's mainstream. That's all it was.
It's better than most of the shit they play today on the radio, you know, except for a few bands. But I auditioned originally for a Saturday spot, and they ended up not filling that spot. Radio shit. And a few years later, they had an opening for nights. And at the time, I was working at Walmart, and I was fucking depressed, dude. I was like, fuck, I'm back at this fucking shithole again.
Fucking say no more. Walmart.
It's miserable, just not in a good place.
I was coming home depressed every day because, and I'm not talking crap because I work in retail now.
Yeah.
But I like where I work.
Yeah.
It's a lot different. But that place just fucking sucks.
Just suck the life out of you, huh?
They work your ass off, and you don't get nothing.
Oh, yeah.
And then one it was my second stint at that place because I got laid off from my previous job. And about 3 weeks into the second time working there, I come home. It was a bad day, really bad day. Like, I mean, you've seen what kind of people shop at Walmart.
Mm-hmm.
You can imagine what the workers have to go through on a daily basis there. And I get a phone call from Tard. He said, "Hey, dude, I'm jockless." I'm like, "What, you ain't got no draws on?"
I was thinking that.
But
you got no draws, bro.
He's like, "No, man, I need a night jock." I'm like, "Oh, yeah." He's like, "Bro, come in tomorrow, put in your application." And I got the job. I was doing nights from 6 to 11, doing like the Planet's Most Wanted and the 9 o'clock news and stuff like that. Shit I used to listen to growing up, so to speak. Yeah. And I'm like, now I'm the guy. And you know, I thank Ronnie for opening that door for me, and I really thank Tard for everything he's taught me. Like, he was like my mentor.
That's awesome, man.
You know, cool fucking dude too, man. I don't know if you ever met him.
I never met him. I've seen him like on like, you know, locations. When I was back in 99, my first attempt at UL Lafayette, I would see him doing like, you know, the, what you call it?
The live remotes.
And, I was like, "Oh, that's Tard." I mean, I recognized the voice. They had it, you know, simulcasting on some monitors and whatnot. I was like, and I remember like listening to you and you being right there from Abbeville. I was like, "Man, Ty is living my dream." Because I wanted to be on radio too and just talk shit and play the shit that I wanted to blare out, you know. But man, I'm just couldn't happen to a better guy.
And we're definitely super stoked to have you here.
You're too kind, man. You are really too kind. I appreciate it.
When Mo first brought up the idea of a podcast, I think I was doing some stuff with the guard, and I was activated for a while, and he had sent me like a little message through Snapchat, and he was like, "We should do a podcast." And I was like, "Okay, man, I'm all on board." And then after that, he was like, "Wait, really? For real?" So, and then after that, it kind of just it got a little out of hand, but in the right way.
He was nervous as fuck.
Oh, yes. I was very nervous.
Oh, dude, I was nervous as shit before I started in radio, dude. Like, you have no fucking clue how nervous I was.
But you should have saw me pacing up and down my living room waiting on you.
He's going to be here in 5 minutes.
Peeking out the blinds, like, where is he at?
Oh, look, Tyson's calling. He's calling. He's here.
Oh, shit.
Oh, my God. But, yeah, I know how you felt, dude. Like, yeah. It's nerve-wracking. But remember, at the end of the day, you're just in a room talking through a mic.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
And you're just having a conversation. That's all it is. And
just people.
Once you fucking realize that, dude, it's like just talking to somebody like at the store or at a show, you know?
Now, as far as like any obstacles that you really face, like when you like initially went like towards the, you know, the radio and, you know, the grindhouse, what, aside from like, you know, the Walmart stuff, did you fit in like the breakup that you mentioned earlier, did you have any really big like other events in life or stuff that stopped you from getting closer to the, you know, to being on the radio or just kind of like propelling you forward, I guess.
Drugs. Yeah. No fucking, I mean, I'm from Abbeville, a small town.
Right.
Shit's everywhere, man. It's not fun.
No, I hear you.
You know, definitely. I'm sober now, but you know,
definitely.
That's probably the one thing I wish I can take back.
Oh, I hear you. Definitely probably be in a much darker place if those opportunities hadn't come along.
And I'm sure a lot of people saw me out there fucked up at shows some nights, you know. Maybe everybody gets fucked up at shows, but, you know.
I bet no one got more fucked up than I did.
There are days where I'm glad I'm still here.
Same here, man.
Oh, yeah.
I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're in that chair.
I'm glad you're here, too, man. I'm glad, you know, I've lost some friends along the way, as we all probably have, you know, and it's not fucking fun. It's no joke.
It's not. And, you know, in a time where, like, mental health is, like, at the forefront of today's society right now, we got to take care of each other.
Absolutely.
You know, and as individuals and, you know, empower each other and not, you know, have some emotional terrorism going on. Like you see these teenagers doing, you know, with their cell phones left and right. And, you know, and parents are wondering why their kids are offing themselves at an alarming rate.
I know.
Yeah.
But anyway, we're not here to talk about world politics. We're here to talk about you, Ty.
Yeah.
And how kick-ass guy you are coming over here. So, man, we didn't even talk about this. Like, how was your fucking Halloween?
My Halloween was great, man. As I was mentioned earlier, it was my 6-year anniversary
yesterday. That's right. That's right.
I spent half of them, I mean, I had to work. Everybody knows I work at Guitar Center.
Oh, yeah.
Anybody in this fucking metal scene knows where they can find me.
And you actually, you just went back, didn't you?
I did. I took a year off to try something new. I had gotten an opportunity to make more money, and eventually COVID fucked that up, as it's doing with everything. And then I started doing photography more, just taking a lot of pictures, like, for bands and a lot of cosplayers and stuff like that. Which I'm a geek, so I love cosplay photography, because, you know, especially when they're doing characters I really like, love and grew up.
All metal aside, I'm like a ginormous weeb. So
yeah, like we can talk about that for like hours,
yeah,
you know.
That's not
but this is a metal show, so
yeah, this is a metal show.
But anywho, I did that for a while, and things were good. Like, you know, doing live shows, did some promos for Capra. When they announced Trevor as their second guitarist, things like that. And then the Delta variant hit and the events were starting to get canceled.
Again.
You know, I would go to, like, you know, a convention and make like $400 just taking pictures, just point and shooting.
I'm in the wrong business.
And once that stopped, I was like, well, fuck, I need some money. I got bills to pay, man. Like, you know, I'm Poe. I'm Poe. I'm broke.
The rent's too damn high.
I know. It is, man. It's ridiculous. You know, us millennials, we're fucked, man. But like I say, we're not getting into politics.
Nope. Nope. So, go ahead.
But where was I going with that? Oh, yeah. It was great, man. I spent Saturday after I got off work at 5, I drove out to Lake Charles. My girlfriend was a guest at SciFiCon in Lake Charles. And it's like an anime sci-fi gaming convention. They had a big fucking Smash tournament this weekend over there. Like, people were coming from like New York and shit to play in this thing.
Damn.
There was a big cash prize for just to play games. That's the way I turned it.
Yep.
And that's another thing we can talk about all day. Video games.
Oh yeah.
But
yeah,
not a problem.
But yeah, it was fun. She was a guest, so I showed up there on Saturday night. We went have some drinks and food at McFarland's Pub in Lake Charles, which is a cool fucking place if you haven't checked that out. Got a little too drunk Saturday night.
Not you.
Yeah. Well, I don't drink much anymore, man. Like you'll rarely see me like shit-faced in public anymore.
Right.
Like these days. Maybe it's because I'm 40, but I don't know. Then I have friends that still like to roll hard in the paint these days too. But
oh yeah.
It was great. Sunday was awesome. It was our anniversary. I took a bunch of pictures, had some paid gigs. It was fun, man.
It looked like fun. I saw the pictures on Facebook, man. It looked like I had a great time.
Man, they had this dude dressed as Doc Ock. I don't know if you've seen that on my Facebook.
Wow.
I posted it, dude. Like the tentacles, man. It like the Doc Ock from Spider-Man 2, the Sam Raimi film. Which is, he's going to...
he's making an appearance in
the
next film.
No Way Home, next month. And same dude, too, Alfred Molina. It's fucking awesome. And this dude killed it. Yeah, if you go to my profile, it's one of the last things I posted on there.
As Ty and his lovely Bridget Rose.
I love you, baby.
Wonderful.
She saved me, man. She saved me.
That's awesome, man.
That's such a beautiful thing, but for the both of you.
Yeah, another one that's known in the radio community here in Acadiana.
Wow.
Yeah, man, ain't that fucking cool?
That is. Y'all can't see it, but this guy is in full Doc Ock garb. I mean, he looks the part.
He's not fucking around.
No, he's not. He's ready to fucking, like, smash my head with those tentacles.
That's gnarly.
Very metal looking.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah. Yeah, her and I, we had a great time. Those of you who don't know, Bridget Rose, that's my lady love. We've been together for 6 years. She is the midday jock on 106.3 Radio Lafayette, the alternative station here in Lafayette.
Holla.
She was on my competition for years, too, Rock 93.7.
Oh, no shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she was Miss Ooh La La on 93.7.
Oh, that's
it. We used to joke about it. We were enemies, and then we became frenemies, and now we're lovers.
That's awesome.
Gotta love it.
It's kind of weird being in this community, because when her and I first started dating, it's kind of like everybody wants to know our business.
Yeah.
It sucked. it's sweet, you know? It's like nice that people want to know, but
that's just,
like I said,
it's because it's an interesting and unique dynamic, you know? I mean, mm-hmm. you're like into metal and shit, and she's just into cosplaying, so everybody's like, well, how does this work, you know?
Yeah, it's crazy. And we started like at the Mastodon show. That was our first date. And then by next year, she kind of got me into the photography thing, because I like taking pictures, but I really didn't get into it until we started dating. And then, you know, it's easy when you have a muse.
Yeah, you know what I mean? I absolutely agree.
It's simple, and, you know, she's like, you always make me look so good. I'm like, no, I don't. I just point and shoot. It's all you.
Yeah. Waiting for Mo to ask this one question that he has on, you know, like the house thing, because I'm really eager to hear his answer.
But anywho, to wrap up this long-ass answer to this question, I had a great weekend.
All right. Yeah, as long as you had...
Happy Halloween, fellas.
Happy Halloween,
for sure.
It's my favorite holiday of the year.
Oh, man, us too. Most people. Yes, definitely us in this house.
It has special meaning for me, you know?
Yeah. So I want a story, and it could be anything, whether it was a live show, but preferably on air situation, or you were like mixing in with the talent and they just made you go,
what the fuck?
Oh man.
Just enjoying that button way too much.
So I really am, dude. So I really am.
So just a moment when I was on air where I went, what the fuck?
With the talent.
With the guest in studio?
Exactly.
Because I have some what the fuck stories when I'm just by myself. Like, no shit. Like crazy stuff, like lightning striking the tower when you're on air.
Oh wow.
Wow.
That'll make you go, what the fuck?
Fucking right. That deserves.
That's...
What the fuck?
And little things like whenever you fuck up and hit the wrong button on live radio.
Oh, damn.
Like, fuck, and then the mic's on, you're like...
Okay. Oh, shit.
Hey, look, that's a trick, man. If you ever, like, they always tell you, if you ever drop an F-bomb, just don't acknowledge it. Because if you don't acknowledge it, it never happened.
Fuck.
Here, you know, podcasts are cool. You got free say. And I've been thinking a long time about starting a podcast as well.
Oh, like, you're in the right house.
Yeah. it's crazy because Tyler Harper and I have been talking about it for years now. And he's a little busy these days. But
yeah, he's got that little band called Capra.
Yeah, you might have heard of them.
Yeah.
You know, they're on tour right now. So he's been grindhouseless for like a couple weeks now. He'll be back next week, though.
Or nice.
Something like that. But, yeah, I got a guest for what the fuck moment with a guest in studio.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. Okay. Well, I can say this, a what the fuck moment, and I hope he doesn't kill me for it.
Oh, shit.
I don't think he will, because if anybody knows Linitis, they know what they're getting in themselves into. For those of you who don't know, that's one of my co-hosts on the Grindhouse. He's like a brother. It's Justin Richard. I grew up with Justin.
Okay.
And we were, the Grindhouse was happening that night, but we had pre-recorded it for a reason. It was, Hell Yeah was hanging out with us at the station. Minus Vinnie Paul.
Okay.
Minus Vinnie Paul, because he was at the hotel watching the Dallas Stars game. And you know you can't get him out of hockey.
Oh, no.
But still a really nice dude. Rest in peace. I was glad I got to meet him.
Rest in power, Vinnie.
Yeah. There was a lot of Jaeger involved. And a lot of beer. And we had a crawfish boil for Hell Yeah. We got access to that through a mutual friend, Eddie Mapp, who's used to be in a band called Dead Man Circus back in the day. Mm-hmm. He is a very well-known front of house guy for Black, you know, I think he ran sound for Black Label Society. He's Evanescence front of house guy, a bunch of other big bands. And he's Louisiana boy.
Made guy.
And he knows the Hell Yeah guys, because he knows a lot of people from touring. And he was like, man, we can have a crawfish ball and get fucked up, man, have a good time. And so, yeah, man, by the end of the night, I wouldn't say with the talent. I'd say with the co-host.
All right.
By the end, Nidus was so fucked up. He was so drunk that, you know, when they were trying to leave in their hotel shuttle, he climbed on top of the shuttle while I was moving to go with him. It was crazy. And we didn't say anything about that because if we would have mentioned that we had them at the studio, man, it would... We didn't want a bunch of people showing up, and sorry, guys. That was a private party, but it was a really good time, man. You know, eating crawfish with them dudes. Tom Maxwell, who was originally the guitarist for Nothing Face. I listened to a lot of them in the 90s in high school, and it was really cool hanging out with him. I'd met him originally with Nothing Face, and they came and played at Shanahan's and the old legendary Shanahan's.
I miss that place so much.
We can have an episode about this, just about all the cool venues they used to have back in the day.
You're right.
Like,
I don't know any of them.
You don't know any of them. You know,
hardly any of them. I'm too young for that.
Yeah, but man,
unfortunately,
I'm telling you,
Changes.
We played Changes countless times. We played a few times at Sabbatic Feast. Your dad was in that band, legendary death metal band.
Yes,
legendary. Like, Blaine here is like metal royalty.
He really is. I mean,
you are, dude. I appreciate you.
I can definitely say this though. Like, as far as like my dad goes, then we'll get back to the interview. As far as my dad goes though, he definitely enjoyed playing in Sabbatic Feast. That was more of his like, you know, shit that got out there. But my dad would tell me day in and day out that his laid away shit.
Oh, dude, laid away was so brutal.
It was
dude.
So brutal, God, man.
It's so much.
Dude.
It's so fast. It's faster. Whew. It's abrasive.
Yeah,
it's the shit.
It's the biggest kick in your nuts.
And still, it still holds well today if you listen to it.
Oh, yeah, it's pure raw. It's awesome. Yeah. I'd love to get it mixed or mastered by somebody that really knows what they're fucking doing. If I could get anybody to do it,
well, hey, guys, listening out there.
Yeah, if I could get anybody to do it, though, it'd probably have to be Mr. Eric Rutan, but I'd imagine he's immensely expensive.
Yeah, expensive, and he's in a pretty big touring band these days.
Yeah.
Well, he's got two bands, but... I mean, he's in the corpse now, man.
Yeah, that's so crazy. That new album is absolutely brutal.
It's got him all over it.
It's got him all over it, dude.
It's so crippling. Sick.
It's awesome.
One of the best releases of 2020 for sure. Did it come out? Was it this year or early this year or last?
I think it was early this year.
Okay, so
question mark?
One of the most brutal, like, new pandemic era records.
Oh, yeah.
Like, exactly. So many fucking bands have dropped albums in the last year and a half. I can't even name them all. But... Like, Violence Unimagined.
It came out in April 16th.
My birthday.
2021.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was, we were laughing because I was laughing with Tyler about it because their album dropped the week after that on Metal Blade Records. And
that's a tough act to follow, my friend.
He's like, shit, yes. we gotta drop our album after Cannibal Corpse. I'm like, sorry, dude. That's how it goes, that's man. But I don't think it mattered. Capra had some pretty good success with that first record so far. So
they really did, man. I mean, I don't know. It just came out of nowhere for me. I don't know. I was going with that, guys. Fuck. I lost my track of thought.
It's cool. It's cool to see Lafayette being represented out there on tour right now.
That's what I'm so dumbfounded about. Yeah. You know, it's just like
it's really cool.
We got some local acts just killing it right now.
Golgothan,
Golgothan, dude. They're about to start touring, dude. Like
Gore.
They recently just got signed. So yep. Shout out to them boys.
Yeah, yep. Congratulations, guys.
Never got to meet Jai and those boys personally.
They're cool as fuck. Mm-hmm.
And I love to though. I mean, I like to have them. You know, in this room and just kind of talk some chop.
We've been trying to I'm sure we can make it happen as long as we let them know, but we've been talking about having Jarrett come on the show as Deacon Cloyd and do some of their characters on the Grindhouse. That'd be really fun. Y'all should talk to them about coming on here too, man. That'd be awesome. That'd be sick.
I think it's manageable, definitely. Those dudes are all super cool.
Scare the fuck out my dogs.
This next song. Oh man.
This next podcast.
Oh man. This next episode. they're funny if you ever watch them on Twitch too, man. I don't know if you ever check them out on their Twitch.
Oh,
channel.
I need to check that out.
Yeah, they are on Twitch. I'm sure they have affiliate status, so just letting you know.
Jai's mustache is something to be marveled in.
It really is.
Yeah,
it is. It's insane.
It's a work of art.
Got a follow-up question about the, you know, those challenging hurdles that you overcame during the Grindhouse. What drives you today, Ty, to keep it going?
To keep it going? Just my love of music. being a musician myself, that really needs to get his band going again, because I get asked that shit all the time.
Yeah.
Like, when you gonna start another band, dude? Like, what's going on? But I'm sorry, what was the original question? I think I went off on a tangent there.
Oh, well.
Like I said, I'm not used to being interviewed.
Yeah, what drives you to keep it going?
What drives me to keep it going is just the love for it.
Yeah.
And as of late in Lafayette alone, the metal scene here, the bands, they're just really solid.
Yep.
There's a lot of talent in this area.
A lot of young bands are having a surge, man.
Yeah,
in this town, it's great.
It's blowing
love
up.
It.
And it's funny because like back in the day, when I was playing, a lot of guys weren't in multiple bands. Now they have like two or three fucking bands. Some of these dudes, I'm like, man, how do you have time for all that?
That's
shit?
A lot to manage, man.
Like, do you wipe your ass? But, I'm sure you do, but it's a lot of time. And you know, as you get older, that kind of shrinks.
But yeah, no,
at time.
I definitely want to go ahead and like congratulate you on just where you're at in life in general, because not a lot of people can say that they're pursuing actively their passion and, you know, keep, you know, going ahead the next step. A lot of people just don't have that. A lot of people are working jobs that they don't like and they're not happy with, but you have the opportunity of meeting and seeing a lot of cool people, having different experiences all the time. And that's just awesome, man. Your passion is what's driving you, and I'm super happy for you, man.
Thank you, man. That's really kind words. It means a lot. It really means a lot to me. But yeah, man, just the love of it. I like to talk. I like music. I have to listen to at least an album a day. I have to on the way to work and on the way home from work. That's my music time.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just cranking the fucking music. Like lately, I came here jamming the new Mastodon. I was jamming the new Every Time I Die the other day. The new Arch Spire the other day, like there's so many bands have dropped new albums. Cradle of Filth even dropped another new album.
It's a banger.
Like, cool. It is. Yeah. It got some sick riffs on it, man. I was like, man, this is kind of reminding me of Cradle in the 90s.
Yes.
Well, speaking of music though, I'm just going to go ahead and steal one of Mo's questions.
Yeah, you would.
If, as far as music goes though, if your house burned down and you had to take out three albums, what would they be?
Oh shit, bro! That's a good fucking question.
That was Mo's question.
We're pulling from the six rapid fire questions right now,
yes, dude. I'm fucking jealous, man. I've never come up with a question that cool. Like, hey, man, how did y'all start? What led the band to where you are now? Three albums I must take with me.
Well,
it's kind of hard to say because they're probably on my phone.
Hey, man, whatever works.
But I do have a copy of Chaos AD on vinyl in my house.
Okay.
That is definitely coming with me. I'd have to say that. I'm trying to think what I have. So many damn CDs in the house. It's hard. I do have, only three?
Yes.
Well, I mean, if you want to go top five, feel free.
Yeah, I mean.
The floor is yours.
Can that be a top five?
Floor is yours.
I have to say my special autographed edition of Goat Whore's Vengeful Ascension album.
Oh,
they played a slew of songs from that last night. We were able to hit the
old analog produced.
Oh yeah,
I think they recorded that in analog.
Yeah, because that's Eric Rutan's bread and butter there.
If you heard anything about last night, dude, they actually had I think we missed it, but we were driving out to go to Metairie to go see them, and there was actually a couple other bands that played before them, and one of the bands, these kids were like 17, 18, 19 years old, and you know they. It was like their second show. And they got to open up for Goat Whore.
That's awesome.
I had overheard, you know, the kid that had played in the band, or in those bands that opened up for Goat Whore, and his dad was like, all right, well, it's time. We got to get out of here. You got to go to school tomorrow. And I'm like thinking to myself, I'm like, this dude just played a fucking show with Goat Whore and he's going to school tomorrow.
Yeah, he's got Algebra 1 next morning.
That's exactly what Blake was saying.
I'm like, he's got a fucking math test tomorrow.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's an honor. I've opened up for Goat Whore before. We've played with Goat Whore at Club Sin whenever their Haunting Curse album dropped. When they just got signed to Metal Blade Records, we opened up for them at Club Sin, and always a killer fucking time with those dudes. Expect to drink.
Oh, yeah.
Expect to drink your ass off. White tequila, I know.
Mm-hmm.
I know what they want. I was a runner for one of their shows before. I know exactly what the fuck they want.
Okay, so we got Chaos, and we got Vengeful Ascension.
Yes.
Let's go number three.
Number three. Damn, that's a good question. So many to choose from. I'd have to say, man, Far Beyond Driven, definitely.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
That's one that would come with me. I would say Mastodon's Blood Mountain.
Excellent choice.
Either that or like maybe Remission, but Blood Mountain.
I'm a Remission kind of guy. We were talking about that at the store.
Yeah, we were. Blood Mountain's when they started to get a little bit more experimental. And
I consider Blood Mountain like their master of puppets.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. They kind of like ventured out into some different proggy stuff and mixing and everything. I mean, it's a great album. I love it.
It is. It is. That was the last album that they didn't have a third vote. They didn't have Braun singing yet, their drummer.
Yeah.
Who is now the lead singer of the band.
That's crazy.
How things have changed. Mm. So how many I have? Four now?
You got four, baby. This is the one.
Number five.
Number five.
Number five.
Yeah.
Number five.
Five.
I would have to say five. When the Kite String Pops.
Ooh, local act.
That's woo. Yes, that is not a bad answer. Not a bad answer at all.
Look. That fucking album, it influenced a lot of our songwriting and post. You know, them dudes are they're cool dudes. Love Sammy. We share a birthday. It's pretty cool.
Oh, do you really?
Yeah.
When's the birthday? April 29th?
April 28th.
Damn it. Day off. Don't kill me, Sammy.
So yeah, man.
I'm sorry.
It was amazing. That album, like the first time I heard it, I was like, wait, these guys are from like, they're from fucking Houma? Are you kidding me?
My old stomping ground. That's where my family's from, too.
Like, holy shit. I mean, I know they're from, like, you know, Patterson, Thibodeau, mm-hmm. Houma, mm-hmm. That area there.
All right.
Patterson.
Now, see, these are supposed to be rapid-fire questions. So, but, hey, the floor is yours. We got no more time here, unless you want to leave. I mean, I'm not pushing you.
No, I'm having a blast.
Me too, man. Yeah. This is fucking fun as all shit.
I was like, man, how is this going to go, man? I'm usually the one asking the questions, and it's just on the other side. It feels really comfortable. I thank you all guys for having me again. This is great.
Thanks for coming, dude. I'm so stoked that you're here. So,
First live show ever attended. You want the real question or live metal show?
Why don't we go?
Let's start with the first metal show.
First metal show.
And then we'll go and like if you would like to answer.
Okay.
The first
action. First metal show was. Trying to remember timeline wise, it was either the Pantera White Zombie I Hate God show in 96.
Yeah.
Wow.
But I also that same year went see Ozzy, Typo, and Sepultura for the Roots album.
Fuck you.
That was the last tour that Max Cavalera was in the band.
Oh, shit.
Wow. Before he formed Soulfly. I can't remember which one came. I think Pantera came first. Mm-hmm. It was for the Osmosis album.
Okay.
Which I think Trendkill and that came out the same year. So. But it was one of those two shows. I can't remember which one came first. It was high school. It was a long time ago.
Yeah.
I was a young little fucker.
God damn, man. But, that's two fucking shows.
It was one of those. Now, the first live show I've been to, that wasn't like my mom or something singing at like a club or whatnot, because sometimes I used to have to go.
Cheating girls.
Yeah, so when you have to actually buy a ticket.
I didn't buy a ticket to this, thank fucking God.
Oh, damn.
But I have a younger sister.
Oh.
And in the 80s, New Kids on the Block was the big shit. So they played a show at the Superdome, and I had to fucking go.
Yeah, yeah. Oh,
but I remember falling asleep and sleeping through almost the whole fucking thing. And my dad waking me up, and the house lights were on, and I'm like, it's time to go. I'm like, all right. And so I went back to sleep when we got in the car.
So it doesn't count.
Doesn't count. But if I would say my actual official first live show would be Pearl Jam and the Ramones, 1995 at City Park.
Wow.
Damn, man.
How was that?
It was amazing. Just to say I had a chance to see the Ramones with the original lineup before they all, I think most of them passed away now.
Yeah, I think. I'm not sure, but
Joey, Dee Dee.
Probably all dead.
You know?
I don't know. I mean, I fact check it, but.
I can't remember. I know Joey passed. Just to see them jam. Was fucking amazing. And Pearl Jam, they threw down. It was for the Vitalogy album, and last song was Yellow Lead Better. It was raining all day, so it was nice and cool. It was in the middle of the fucking summer, so rain was welcomed.
Oh, I bet you had like nothing but the swamp ass.
Swamp ass.
I did, but I didn't give a fuck. It was fucking awesome. Dude, they had like a big fucking tarp on the floor of the Coliseum. It's at the football stadium in City Park, and it rained so much, everybody was slip-a-sliding across that fucker.
I heard about that.
It was cool.
For people listening that aren't in Louisiana, if you are, you know what swamp ass is, but swamp ass is something fierce.
Swamp ass you can get just from walking out your front door.
You absolutely can. All right.
Moisture.
Another question here we got. which live act is your favorite?
The favorite I've ever seen?
I guess the one band that you keep going to over and over again, even if money was no object.
A lot of people that know me, I'd say Coheed and Cambria.
I'm
a big fan of them. Really? Yeah, I know this isn't I know they're not a metal band, but they throw on a killer live show.
Metal S. I've seen them before.
Now, the best band I've ever seen is Opeth.
I will agree with you on that.
I haven't had the privilege of seeing them yet.
I saw them back in 2003 in L.A., Glenn Danzig's Blackest of the Black Tour, and they were one of the headliners for that concert at Universal Studios in L.A., and I didn't know who Opeth was, but I knew what they were about after that show.
Oh, man. And I got to see them when they were still heavy.
Yeah. Same here.
You know, they were playing shit off of Blackwater Park, fucking Deliverance, Damnation. I think it was for Ghost Reveries, I believe I've seen them for. That was like really the last heaviest record they put out.
I'm getting goosebumps from just remembering that show, man. I'm glad you mentioned Opeth. God.
As far as musicianship on stage and how tight they were and how close to the fucking record they sounded, I'd have to say them.
I have another one for you, actually. This one kind of goes off a little bit more into the deeper end of things. So looking at today and looking at, you know, when you were younger, when you start to dive really deep and go into a dark place today, what's a band that pulls you out and kind of like gives you like a hard reset today and when you were younger? So like kind of like, do you have a lot of the same, like if you're in a really just dark place yourself, you're not in the right mindset, like what band pulls you out personally for you that kind of like helps you? Like,
that's a good question. A band that pulls me out of my dark place. Well, I'm kind of like, if I'm in a bad situation or just in a, you know, depressed mood or something, heavy music actually cheers me up.
Yeah.
You know, most people are like, why are you listening to that? I mean, aren't you angry? No. I play guitar. It's actually very soothing. But I'd say growing up, Nothing Face was a band that I used to listen to a lot when I was down. A lot.
So not having them around, you definitely think you don't know where you'd be if you didn't have that at that time.
Yeah, I'm sure I would have had a substitution for it. But,
oh, yeah, of course.
But they were definitely one of the bands that I listened to nonstop from like 96 to till they broke up, which was like mid-2000s. But yeah, and it's still a band I can go back to today because the music still fucking jams.
Right on.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
Didn't mean to get all deep and dirty on.
No, man, that's what we do, man. It's all good.
We do deep dives.
Makes me want to go jam that shit when I leave later, man.
Fucking right. We do deep dives. We go in the shallow in the pool. We do whatever the fuck we want on this show, man.
Dip your toes in.
So
get a little bit.
I mean, I'd be remiss if I wouldn't ask this question. I mean, we are Tales from the Riff here. What is the heaviest riff that you continue to worship today?
Riff. Man, so many good, sick fucking riffs out there that I continue to worship today. Man, that's a hard question, but it's such a good question.
I'm throwing straight fire this first episode, bro.
See that? You've been doing. You're prepared, dude. You got a nice like novel written on that notebook over there.
Fucking
man.
Right.
I'm like, oh shit. I'm like intimidated by it.
He's looking at you very like his like eyes are burning.
Anybody, like if you're listening and you were on my show ever, you know that I don't come rolling with a paper. I just
roll with it.
Just roll. And you do it for so long, like eventually you're gonna not use that.
Right. Yeah.
I'm telling you now, you're not gonna use paper. You're just gonna go by your head because I have kind of like. I say like kind of Ron Burgundy syndrome when I come to looking at paper and reading.
I'm Ron
reading copy and speaking on, you know. One riff that I worship to this day still. Man, there's so many got to choose from, but
so many.
It's going to have to be a Pantera riff for sure. I know that.
From Far Beyond Driven or?
Not necessarily.
Oh.
I'd have to say it's by Demons Be Driven.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Definitely.
That riff. I mean, nobody was doing that shit at the time. This is what, 1992 when that shit came out?
Yep.
Who the fuck was writing riffs besides, like, I mean, I know Exhorter had some jams like that, but really choppy fucking riffs like that?
Not many.
No.
No.
Had people shit in their pants.
Yeah.
Nah, bro.
I'd have to, yeah, off of Vulgar Display for sure, man. Like, not my favorite Pantera record, but it's like my second favorite.
I definitely got, I mean, top five riffs. One of them is on Beyond Driven.
What's that?
5 Minutes Alone.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God. I mean, that's
I like, actually, my favorite riff in that song, it's not the main riff. It's the...
He just, I mean, full of groove, man.
I like them slide riffs, man. Yeah. I like slide and shit and just groovy shit.
When I was young, my dad gave me, like, a little, like, MP3 player, and it was loaded with, like, 5 or 10 different songs, and, like, the first Pantera song I was ever introduced to is Cowboys from Hell, and I would go, like, that McDonald's used to have this, like, you know, like, slide and, like, play area, and I'd, like, go throw my MP3 players and, like, be like, I'm king of the McDonald's fucking playground. Fuck you.
Yeah,
motherfucker. I just had a question that popped in my brain that I was pretty curious about, you know, because I was starting this podcast asking for bands to send Bandcamp links and demo submissions and all that, you know, so that we could, you know, expose them and bring them out to a wider audience, just, you know, broaden their reach. You know, that's what I had in mind. How many demos you think you get at the radio station, man? Like on average.
Now, I mostly get like music sent through email.
Yeah.
So, on average, I'd say at least a couple a month. Wow. It just depends. Like, you know, it's usually when the band's just starting off that we get it. But back in the, like, I've gotten so many, like, CDs from bands. Some of them multiple copies, you know. Really generous people. A lot, man. A lot of email, a lot of Facebook messaging. A shitload.
The reason why I asked, which kind of creates a little segue here, I don't know if y'all guys are interested. We got our first demo submission, which is pretty exciting.
Okay.
I told Blaine about it.
Told me about it. I didn't really get to listen to the full swing of it.
Are we going to listen to it now?
We can listen to it right now. I think it'll be a great way to expose ourselves to some Brazilian black metal.
Yeah. Mo came out of the weeds with this one. I was like, I don't remember what I was doing. He's like, dude, we just got our first submission. It's from Brazil. And I was like,
a Brazilian submission.
Whoa. And he was, I mean, the guy is so nice, down to earth. Mm-hmm. He reached out to me on the Instagram handle. His name is Laulacna. Pronouncing that right? I hope I didn't butcher it.
Yeah, I butcher names all the time.
Yeah, I was wondering if he's going to butcher it.
No, it's Laulacna. And, this guy, he is all about old school first wave black metal, which is right in my fucking wheelhouse. And so without further ado, let's check what he has going on right now. Technical difficulties.
We all have those. I still have them today, and I've been doing the show for 14 years.
Hit the sad trombone, Mo. Hit the sad trombone. You got to hit it.
More difficulties.
More difficulties.
In a world. Does that thing have Bluetooth on it or something?
It sure does.
Oh, yeah, so we're going to hear it nice and crisp.
We're going to have it nice and crisp. And I was really excited about this, man. I mean, the guy just came out of nowhere. I was like, holy shit. So here we go.
Let's see if this works.
It's going to go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
All right.
Should I talk about that?
That man, was fucking awesome.
It reminds me of like some late 80s Scott Burns produced just death metal.
Yeah.
Like blackened, like something recorded at Moore Sound in Florida.
If you guys really dig that, by the way, we're going to go ahead and leave a link in the description for you to check those guys out as well. Yeah, I think it sounds fucking wicked.
What was the name of that song?
That was The Guillotine.
The Guillotine.
The third song. I thought that was the in my opinion, one of the best tracks. I mean, support track EP, and I mean, this guy, he does everything. Guitar, bass, drum programming. He had a guest vocalist.
Sweet.
But I mean, he was very gracious. He said, Mo, use the song as you wish. And I was like, seriously? He's like, yeah.
Man, how you pronounce that EP title?
Nick Mitu?
Klaatu Varada Nikto? Oh,
man.
You're like saying some wicked shit right now.
I know. Man. We could be, you know, yeah, in
we might be like some, that might be some incantation that
I was thinking the same thing.
Man, I've seen Evil Dead before, man. Like,
even that album art is pretty wicked looking, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Sick.
So, anyone interested in that particular EP by La Ragna, we'll definitely put that link in the bio on Instagram, Facebook, all that good stuff.
Yeah, boy.
Yeah. Thank you again, La Ragna. If you're listening, I mean, love you, brother. Thanks.
And thank you again, Ty, for checking this shit out with us. And
oh, absolutely,
like,
man.
Once again, you know, hope you're feeling good, you know, enjoying yourself.
Yeah, dude, this is amazing. I didn't do my show last night, so this is kind of like, you know, I was out of town. Actually, it's been 2 weeks since the Grindhouse has been on. The Sunday before, I went to see Dune and IMAX in Baton Rouge.
How was that?
It was fantastic. But on the way back, there was a bad wreck at Whiskey Bay on the Basin Bridge. I didn't make it back in time to do my show.
Oh, shit.
Sorry, Grindhouse listeners. That's why we weren't on last Sunday.
That's just the nature of the beast, man.
Shit happens.
But you know what? You're here. You're in, you know.
The flesh.
The flesh.
Yeah, man.
The Tales from the Rift studio.
I am not via Skype. I am here in person.
In person.
No Zoom calls here. No Zoomy Zooms.
Woo.
Woo. Just my cat gets the Zoomies.
That's right, man. Well, look, man. We have time flies, and we have already eclipsed an hour into this.
Man, how long y'all are planning on going on these things?
Man, you know, it's like
maybe about between like an hour and 30 minutes because we don't want it to. We want to make it feel natural, not
absolutely.
Rushed.
We don't want to make it feel forced at all.
No, not at all. Just, yeah, like an hour and a half's a good time, man. It's,
yeah,
our show is 2 hours. We only talk for about maybe 10-15 minutes, but or sometimes 20. But man, this is I like the talk format. I always do.
And I tell you what, we've been knowing each other now. We go back probably since 99, 2000.
Yeah, about a little over 20 years.
Over 20 years, man. It's like, you know, but we haven't been able to, we weren't always able to do this, what we're doing. Like, just really getting to know each other on a
personal,
you know,
level.
A personal level, man.
People don't do that. People pick up their phone and, like, text each other. Like,
back then, you know, they'd come to the show and be like, what's up, man? Hang out, have a beer, you know?
That's it.
And then that's it. We go our separate ways, and, you know, now it's, everybody's connected.
Right.
Things are different.
Well, Mo, let me ask you something real quick. Do we have any more questions lined up for him today, or not really?
That's pretty much all I had for him, man. You know, that's all I could think of off the top of my head.
Pretty much the same. I've kind of drawn a little bit of a blank slate. That Goat Horse show last night got me all kinds.
How was it?
Oh my God!
I know that's a dumb question because they always deliver.
Yeah, it was awesome, dude. I hadn't seen them since like I think Summer Slaughter 2017, or maybe it might have been 2015. But
okay.
Goat Horse always good.
Yeah, I missed their show last week in Lafayette.
Yeah, I did.
Oh, you wasn't there?
No, I had a prior engagement, man. We had we had made plans like months for like somebody's birthday, and I was gonna stop by afterwards, like on the way, and just maybe catch some Goat Horse, but I was too fucking drunk. We ended up drinking there too. Yeah, I know. Yeah. I say I don't drink much anymore. I'm probably like, Ty, didn't you just say you don't fucking drink much anymore?
No judgment here,
look,
buddy.
Look,
no judgment.
We had a birthday last weekend. I had my anniversary this weekend. It's just 2 weekends in a row, okay?
Yep.
Fuck, leave me alone. God damn it. Fuck. Shit. No, but it was good, man. We had a good time. But I don't miss too many Goat Horse shows in Lafayette.
Man, I tell you what, though, like, you know, we did trick or treating with the fam yesterday. I was passing out candy. It was full costume. And then, like,
I saw your costume.
You saw it? How you like that?
It looked great.
Oh, thank you, man. I mean, I think the shades put it all together.
Yeah, bud.
I got mistaken for Jesus, Moses, Aquaman. But every kid that was like 14 and younger, like, Endgame Thor. I was like, you goddamn right. Yeah. You get an extra blue pop.
It was really fucking wicked, man. But look, let's not keep you hostage for too much longer. I do want to ask you one more thing. Do you potentially have any more? On the flip side of things, do you potentially have any questions for us? And if not, don't feel pressured at all. We just want to give our guests also the opportunity if they want to ask any questions just about the show.
And if I can interrupt real quick, and if you want to push anything, something that you want to plug? Yeah,
absolutely.
This is where you get to be Jen Simmons.
By all means.
Oh, man. Well, I mean, for those of you who know, we do a show every Sunday night on 105.1, Classic Rock 105.1, RIP Planet Radio, called The Grindhouse from 8 to 10 p.m. Give us a listen, man. There's music you want to hear. You can shoot us a message via Facebook. Just follow us. Hit the like button on Facebook and let us know. And slide into our DMs and let us know what you want.
Ooh, sound like you're a pure pro right there, bro.
But yeah, do that. And bands out there, if you're looking for promos, man, hit me up. Google Drive photo.
Awesome, dude.
We'll definitely put those links too in our bio. Man, Ty, thank you so much.
You're welcome. I do have a question for you though, Mo, before we leave.
Go ahead.
How's that quad cortex treating you, bro?
Well, it's sitting right there. It's waiting for you to test out yourself, sir.
I might have to try that out in a bit.
Fucking right, man.
This is Tales from the Riff, man. We got to have some riffage.
We're going to have some riffage. we will. And I need to somehow figure out a way to mic that cab. That way, you know, we could get our audience in on the mix with the quad cortex could bring.
Coming soon.
Definitely coming soon. Yeah. I can't. Speaking of women in our life, my fiance, she is the reason for that quad cortex. She's the reason why I got that Jackson sitting right there too.
Man, that's definitely a keeper.
We're getting married in April.
Absolutely, absolutely.
We're getting married in April, man.
I was about to say, put a ring on that thing.
That's exactly right.
I need to do that too.
Yeah, you do.
I do. I get come asked on. A lot.
Stop dragging your feet.
We talk about it. We talk about it all.
Do
the time.
You though?
We do.
Do it. Do it.
No. I mean, I love her to death. I will marry her. And
you heard it here, folks.
That's it.
You heard it here first.
It's recorded. Now you got to do it.
It's not. You committed now. You're all in.
Nah, man. She's the yin to my yang, man.
There you go, bud.
That's awesome.
That's awesome, man.
Happy for you.
Yeah.
But yeah.
But let me go ahead, Mo. I'm going to go ahead and close this out. That's cool with you?
I thought you'd never ask.
Yeah. Okay. Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for tuning into the very first episode of Tales from the Riff.
First one.
I'm Blaine Anders. And once again, this is
Mo Soleil.
There you go. That was very unprofessional.
It really was. I was caught me mid drink.
Yeah. But thank you again, Ty, for coming on the show, and it has been such a pleasure having you today.
Oh, thank
you
all very much. Like I said, I really, really appreciate it. You've been so kind.
Thank you, brother.
Follow us on our medias, you know, Instagram, Facebook, Spotify. We're gonna get all that shit pushed out, and check out that band we threw up on there. You'll be hearing from us very soon, and also, be gnarly, my friends.
That's right. Be gnarly.